Today is Sunday, January 30th, 2022, and this...
It's not really Vegas's fault. We've just decided that when we want to be a complete dick, we go to Vegas and do it there, you know? It's funny, like, sometimes you'll see somebody at home and they seem like an okay person, and then you see them in Vegas and you're like, holy shit. Like...
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 817.
Las Vegas, the honor! Just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
We're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you doing this morning?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for asking. Appreciate that. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
We got a lot of Vegas-y stuff to talk about today, which is always fun. And I'm looking forward to that. Before we jump into that, however, let's thank our patrons, our fine supporters, who keep this thing running like the smooth machine it is, week in and week out. Including the following folks who've been around as part of our Patreon thing for, in 500 time, more than a year.
Yay.
They include Belinda Jackson, Steve Harassum, Jason Hoover, Valerie Roper, Derek Allmendinger, and Kurt... I thought I was going to get through it without fucking up any names.
What, Wackenbach?
Wackenbach. That last one threw me off. I started to get confident once I got through Derek's name, and then... I saw Kurt's name staring at me and went, I'm going to fuck that up. I know it. Anyway, thanks to all of our patrons. If you'd like to support the podcast on an ongoing basis and get some bonus content as our way of saying thank you, visit patreon.com/500 for details. All right, we've got a bunch of news to get to this week. A wide variety of things to discuss. Let's start out with the big news, and that is the rebranding of Bally's. Caesars Entertainment announced they are planning... to rebrand Bally's Las Vegas as Horseshoe Las Vegas.
You posted a picture.
I did. I posted the first exterior rendering on Twitter, and it received a lot of attention. This is not a huge surprise, because we've been talking about this as a possibility for the pretty much the whole scope of this podcast, the whole 17 years. This started in 2005-ish when Harrah's, which is now Caesars Entertainment, purchased what was then Binion's Horseshoe and flipped it, sold it to somebody else, but maintained control of two brands, World Series of Poker and Horseshoe. And they've used Horseshoe on several properties throughout the country, and it's been speculated for a long time that they would eventually use it on the Las Vegas Strip. And, for whatever reason, Bally seemed like the most logical place to put it. And guess what? That's happening. So there are a couple reasons that this makes sense now. One, World Series of Poker, closely associated with Binion's Horseshoe, because that's where it started and was for many, many years. That is moving from Rio to Bally's and Paris. So having Horseshoe and Bally's associated again...
Or Horseshoe and the World Series of Poker.
Horseshoe and World Series of Poker. That makes some sense. So there you go. In addition to that, there's this whole name shuffling thing that's happening where Caesars Entertainment sold off the Bally's brand but maintained control of it for use in Las Vegas. And the company that owns the Bally's brand, which is now called Bally's Corporation or something similar, is purchasing Tropicana. And they're changing the name of all their properties. And it would make sense for them to change the name of Tropicana's to Bally's as well.
And this is going to cause mass transportation confusion.
Yeah, probably
for
not.
A little bit.
Maybe. Nah, by the time this happens, I don't think it'll matter.
Yeah.
Because the Horseshoe thing will, I think there'll be some time in between where it may cause confusion. Somebody, I stayed at Bally's in 1985. Let's stay there this time. And they book Bally's and they end up at Tropicana. That kind of thing. I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. It's not like this is the first time that the property currently known as Bally's has changed names. Of course, it used to be MGM Grand.
Yep.
You don't see a lot of people going, how the fuck did I end up in this green building? I wanted to be down in the middle of the strip. Time heals all. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's assumed that Tropicana will eventually become Bally's as part of this whole thing as well. So what are the details of this this renovation, this rebrand that's happening? Here's what Caesars Entertainment has told us. They were so specific in their announcement about how much money they're putting into this. They referred to it as a multi-million dollar renovation, which says nothing. I look at a lot of the, as anyone listening to the show for any reasonable amount of time knows, I'm frequently looking at building permits mm-hmm. online to see what's going on and other things. But anyway, I've seen single restaurants that have been $2 million or more. Mm-hmm. Any of the large ones, like I'm guessing the Martha Stewart place.
Yeah.
That's probably a couple million bucks
probably.
To renovate that. So multi-million dollars doesn't mean shit. So that tells me we want to make this sound like a lot, even though we're really not going to spend that much. That's my hunch here, that this is going to be a
half-assed renovation.
I don't know what half-assed, but not... I don't think it's going to be... Even if you look at the one interior rendering they put out, mm-hmm. it's like, oh, look, it's Bally's with new carpeting and a different color scheme. It's not like they're doing a huge, complete rehaul. Mm-hmm. And they're keeping it open during this, too, which tells you it's probably not going to be too extensive. And they're not doing the hotel rooms, because those are new-ish, kind mm-hmm. of. I mean, the tower that they renovated first, I think that was 8 years ago, and the other one was probably 4 years ago, but I think they're still in relatively decent shape. I don't know. Anyway, they're going to start renovations this spring. First thing up, according to their announcement, is the poker room. Mm-hmm. I have seen, a couple weeks ago, I did see that there was a permit request put in for demolishing one of the casino bars. Hmm. Presumably, it's the one right by the poker room. I'm guessing... that I don't know if they're extending the poker room, if they're expanding it, but they're getting rid of that bar, or they're getting rid of a bar. I'm assuming it's that one because the others are a little bit nicer. The lobby bar is fairly new.
Yeah.
The other one next to the lobby bar is in pretty good shape and better location and all that. So we'll see. And they may put something else in as well, but for now they're going to be demolishing a casino bar. Poker room is going to be renovated. And then they're going to do some sort of exterior renovation. Could mean just new signs. I would think if they were going to do any significant renovations, they would get rid of the little terraces that aren't usable because they have the doors bolted shut. Mm-hmm. That, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe some sort of... I don't see them doing anything that extensive. Maybe they'll find a way to make it a different color. I don't know. We'll see. I'm curious what the renovation will on the exterior will consist of. And then other public areas of the hotel, or as I said in my show notes, pubic areas, because that's the funniest typo, mm-hmm. and it's not the first time I've made it. If it was the pubic areas, then and this would have been years ago. Mm-hmm. Like we could have made before the shantytown jokes about trimming the shrubbery. Mm-hmm. Can't do that because they fucked it up and took out...
Yeah.
If you're wondering about what this means for the Grand Bazaar shops, nothing. That is not going anywhere. That is leased out space, and somebody else manages that, and that's not going away, unfortunately. What else? They're not doing the hotel rooms. They are getting some restaurants, as you know, because we've been discussing it here often. Right now, there is not much to eat at Bally's, and they will be putting in 3 new restaurants as part of this. They have plenty of space available for it. I'm guessing that one of them will be a Jack Binion Steakhouse because almost all of the other horseshoes have a Jack Binion Steakhouse. Hmm. And by law...
You have to have a steakhouse in a casino?
You have to. It's mandatory in Clark County. Not really, but it seems that way. I had to clarify and say not really, even though I hate doing it because otherwise I'll get an email.
I don't see that in the gaming code.
Actually, people.
You don't have to do that.
What else? 3 new attractions. Don't know what they are yet. right now, the basement level where they have shops and attractions, like they do have the Twilight Zone mini golf. They do have real bodies. Most of the other stuff.
By real bodies, you mean the exhibit, not like.
Not well.
Well, they have real bodies seeing real bodies.
Yes. The exhibit, real bodies. Most of the other shops down there are currently shuttered, and they've been doing some work down there. I've been trying to figure out what they're doing. I think that the company that manages Real Bodies, which does exhibits all over North America, they're putting something else in across from Real Bodies, but I'm not sure what it is. So some stuff is underway there. They're planning on wrapping this all up. Again, this tells me this isn't going to be that huge of a thing. They're going to be wrapped. They're starting in spring. They're going to be wrapped up by the end of the year. Hmm. They did have the caveat that it could be delayed if there are still supply chain issues.
Yeah.
Because it's still hard to get stuff. So like if their carpet gets delayed or wallpaper or whatever that they need here. But yeah, so that's the scoop. I would imagine not super extensive. It'll probably look like, oh, it's a nicer Bally's. Which is kind of what horseshoes look like anyway. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, it's a little bit, it's, you know, not super, it's just middle of the road, nice, but not super fancy. I'm curious.
If that's what it takes to get them to maintain one of their properties, then fine.
Absolutely. So here's the thing where there's always one bit of any of these announcements where I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. Here's the quote. This comes from the vice president and general manager of Bally's, Jason Gregoric, and he said, which means it was written by a publicist and they put his name on it, but he's responsible because he approved it. Jack Binion created a casino for the gambler and the player, and that's what he was known for. The best odds, the highest limits, the biggest jackpots. We embrace that through all of our horseshoe casinos, or all of our horseshoes throughout the country. To have that tied to Las Vegas will resonate well with our guests and players. You're not going to have the fucking best odds and highest limits and blah, blah, blah. It's going to be the same fucking shit that all the Caesars properties and just about everything on the strip has. So let's tone it down there, Jason. So there you go. I'm happy that they're renovating. We've been discussing how Caesars properties are in rough shape and Bally's.
Maybe
is,
they'll give the outside walls a little scrub.
Yes. My favorite picture from the Cosmo Terrace of the giant smudge and shit splatter on the side of the, I don't know what the splatter really is, but it looks like, doesn't look good. So yeah, maybe they'll finally take a scrub brush to that place and get it looking a little bit better. So that's welcome. Like I said, I wouldn't expect anything amazing, but it'll be nicer. So that's good. All right, moving along. Some stuff we have to follow up on from last week. We were discussing the When We Were Young Festival. That's that music festival happening in October on the festival grounds across the street from Sahara, and how that had sold out quickly, 2 days, October 22nd, 23rd, I believe were the dates. They've now added a third day the following weekend, October 29th. And presumably, and that, so tickets are going on sale for that tomorrow, the 31st of January. Presumably, I'm guessing if they're adding another, I guess, Friday, that they would add another Saturday as well, or maybe it's Saturday, Sunday. I don't know the days of the week, but I'm guessing that they will add a fourth day as well if tickets sell reasonably well at all.
That makes sense.
So there you go. It's the same lineup, and if you didn't have a chance to get tickets for the first weekend, and we're wishing you did, get There's online tomorrow. I think that they already have an email thing where you can sign up for the presale, because they'll all sell out during that, most likely. So there you go. Somebody, see, I just told you that lineup was stacked. There's high demand. Big demand. All right, more entertainment news. Another thing we pondered was what will happen with all those empty dates because Adele canceled her shows. Some of them are being filled already. Caesars Entertainment got on the phone with one of their other performers who was scheduled to begin performing there in May and end in May. It was only for three shows. Keith Urban, and said, hey, Keith, how about doing some more shows here? And he said, fuck yeah, I'll do it. And there you go. So Keith Urban, as you can tell, I was on the phone with them listening in.
Right.
Keith Urban is doing five additional shows at the end of March and beginning of April. Pre-sales have already begun. There are still plenty of tickets available, though, if you're interested. $161 and up, all in through Ticketmaster. And there you go. So I think total he's doing 8 shows, falling just below
the residency threshold.
The 500 residency threshold, where we usually play some of the music mm-hmm. of that artist.
Have we played his music before?
I don't think so.
When he had a thing?
I don't know. Did he have any, like, I don't remember if he had a full-on, he's done shows before. I don't remember him doing a full thing, but my brain is clouded. We've discussed a lot of things over the, however long we've been here,
mm-hmm.
800 and some odd shows.
Yep. Did we discuss, did the reason for the Adele cancellation come out after we talked about it on the show with the water thing?
There's been a bunch of speculation, and most of it seems to be, as we said, this will come out because mm-hmm. there's a lot of people involved. The consensus seems to be that it was disputes over production, mm-hmm. including the specific one that came up was there was supposed to be something where she walks on water or some
yeah.
shit. They were going to have some sort of 10,000 gallon pool or something on stage, and she was hovering above it or some nonsense, mm-hmm. and she didn't like the pool.
Mm-hmm.
I speculated that they just like ran to Walmart and got an inflatable kiddie pool,
mm-hmm.
had like unicorns on the side or something, and she was very upset. Yeah. I don't know.
I was concerned that she wanted a full size Stonehenge, and she got like an 11-inch replica.
This thing has to be 42 feet wide, and it was 42 inches wide, mm-hmm. and all hell ensued. Yeah, so that's part of it. There's been other stuff as far as having a big choir. She doesn't want one, and Caesars does, and who the fuck knows? But right now it's all, is she going to reschedule or not? And it sounds like it's kind of maybe a 50-50. But again, this is all gossip and speculation, and who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? As you can imagine, because it's what they do, the British tabloids are feasting on this. So there you go. All right, what else do we got? Speaking of residencies, Santana, some good news here for Santana and for his fans. He had canceled shows because of a heart procedure in December. He is back. He's at the House of Blues again.
Good.
I think he performed this weekend, so if you wanted to see him.
I'm glad to hear that he has made a full recovery.
I know, it's good. We had discussed, and I know that I think Wayne is back now too. Wayne Newton at Flamingo. I think his new show, it either has opened or it's about to open. So two of the three that we discussed recently have rescheduled. The one that hasn't is Celine Dion.
Oh,
I'm a little nervous about Celine, folks. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to speculate about what's wrong, but I think we might not be seeing. I don't know. I'm worried that she's not coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Not that like I'm a huge fan or anything, but I like knowing Celine is there.
Mm-hmm. I wish her good health.
Yeah, me too. But we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully I'm wrong, and hopefully we'll have an announcement about that at some point. Another residency note. Katy Perry, apparently her residency at Resorts World is going well. She was on SNL last night. I haven't watched it, but based on what I saw on Twitter, oof.
Okay.
The responses were, oh, she tries so hard.
Oh.
So we'll have to check it out. 16 more shows added to her run at Resorts World, extending her shows through August 13th. So if you have the desire to see Katy Perry, plenty of opportunities available still. Another announcement related to Resorts World. Are you excited about this next thing?
No.
No? I thought you would be. Okay, so Zouk, which is the nightclub at Resorts World, they announced their DJ lineup for 2022. So we've got some headliners here. These are all familiar names. We've got Tiesto, Zedd, DJ Snake, Deadmau5, Louis the Child, Madison Beer, Becky G, G-Eazy, Jack Harlow. Those are relatively familiar DJs. Mm-hmm. But then there's the secondary lineup.
Okay.
And I thought we would do our thing that we do here on occasion. Okay.
I thought you were asking me if I was excited about DJs.
No. No, I know you're not. But something we've done here from time to time, and it's usually surrounding the Wynn Las Vegas DJ lineup.
Mm-hmm.
But since Resorts World jumped on board with an extensive lineup of DJs, I thought we would play Guess the Fake DJ name here.
How many of them are fake?
Two are fake.
All right.
And one of them, I will tell you, was submitted by a listener after the last time we did this.
Sweet.
Our friend Kevin Nagel sent me one of these.
Nice.
And then the other one I came up with. So I'm going to read you a list of acts, and at the end you can tell me which two you think are not real EDM performer/DJ names. There's quite a list here. All right, are you ready?
Sure.
And away we go. I don't know. There's no timer. Why do we have to do that? Okay. All right, let's begin. There are some sort of alphabetical order. And I say some sort of because it's...
Just
it's by the first, it's not by like last name if okay. they have one. It's anyway, kind of arbitrary with some of these.
All right.
Things. All right. Blondish, Bria the Carolina, Cajun Lo Mein, Camel Fat, Carl Cox, Cash Cash, Charlie Jordan, Cheat Codes, Dante, Disclosure, DJ Karomi, DJ Politic, DJ Ruckus, DJ Silver, DJ Snake, Duke Dumont, Elian Fur, Galantis, Green Velvet, Jamie Jones, Jonah, Jonas Blue, Mads, The Martinez Brothers, Minnie Miranda, Nervo, Nick Fenchuli.
Okay.
All right. Peggy Gao, Rehab, spelled R3HAB, Sonny James and Ryan Marciano, Tay James, Vice, Zen Freeman, and Zhu, Z-H-U. Would you like to guess the two fake DJ names?
Okay. Cajun Lo Mein?
That is the Kevin Nagel submitted fake DJ name. Congratulations. Nice. You are one for one.
Okay, what were the ones beginning with DJ again?
DJ
Karomi. Oh, DJ Silver.
DJ Silver is real, and it is in that case, he spells out DJ, D-E-E-J-A-Y.
Because I thought it was like mocking David Silver from 90210,
No, the other fake one is, this goes back to my previous employment.
Mm-hmm.
Minnie Miranda, which is the... That is the warning that debt collectors have to read...
Before they start harassing people.
Exactly. Before they start... Yes, that is exactly what it is. Those are the two fake ones.
Okay.
One for... You got 50%. That's good. This is a tough game.
Yeah, it's hard.
And thank you for playing along. I appreciate that. I always enjoy doing that. All right. Moving along. One of the things that I like to do in my free time, as you know, as everybody on the podcast knows, is a little sleuthing. You know what? Somebody compared me to Columbo on Twitter last night, which was kind of fun, except for they said I bathe more. I don't know if that's true. But I found that as I've refined and improved my sleuthing skills, mainly... Because of looking for stuff for the podcast, it's been coming in handy in other areas of my life lately.
Describe how handy it is.
I found for my non-Vegas work that I do, I found myself doing some sleuthing last week. Somebody said, there's this competitor here, and unfortunately we have no way of knowing who their clients are, and it would be helpful to know.
Hold on.
Here. Hold my podcast. And I 5 minutes later, I sent them a list of clients. I was very proud of myself for putting my sleuthing skills to work in another manner.
Nice.
And then, there's been some other stuff too. But anyway, it's nice that this, my sleuthing encompasses all areas of my life. Mm-hmm. Not all areas, but several. All right. So I've been doing some sleuthing, and I got one of these for you.
Overwatch. It could be true, but it's probably bullshit.
All right. My sleuthing has uncovered something that leads me to provide a rumor watch for you because it is unconfirmed information, but we'll see. As you know, the restaurant at the D Las Vegas, D Grill, closed down quite a while ago around that pandemic deal. Did it shut down before the pandemic or like when everything else shut down? I can't remember exactly.
I can't remember either. It's all a blur.
Anyway, it didn't reopen after the shutdown. And we've been wondering, hey, is it going to reopen?
Where can I eat some pancakes with the soundtrack of Steely Dan?
Do they have the same music inside as they do in the casino floor?
I believe so.
Anyway, nothing announced yet. But
I remember having some strawberry pancakes to reel in the years.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
You were there, obviously.
I know. I black out such instances of Steely Dan coming into my life unwelcome. Yeah, my sleuthing indicates that there are plans for a new restaurant at the D called, drum roll please. I have nobody here to give me a drum roll. Bacon Nation. So I think we can know what to expect from that. Bacon.
Mm-hmm.
I like bacon.
I do too.
Yeah, so there you go. I would have, now there are other Bacon Nation. If you look for Bacon Nation online, you'll find there was a restaurant in Toronto. There's some food trucks and stuff like that. I don't know that it's necessarily tied into those. But something bacony coming later this year.
I'm on board.
Unless they change their plans. So that's what's going on. So that's good. A couple other restaurant things. I'll get back to some more sleuthing in a couple minutes, but some other related, well, not related to that, but related because they're restaurant-based.
Related updates. To food.
Yes, food stuff. The questionably named Grab and Go restaurant at Encore, Goodies on Demand.
It sounds worse when you say Grab and Go with it.
Well, if you recall, this name change happened right around the time all the Wynn stuff went down, the Steve Wynn stuff. So for them suddenly to have a Goodies on Demand Grab and Go when Steve was getting ousted for grabbing and then he had to go.
Not the greatest name choice.
But Vegas Changes reports that it is now called Espresso. It looks like kind of the same type of place. They're just focusing more name-wise on the coffee aspect. Okay. But they still have sandwiches and salads and all that stuff, it appears. So there you go. That is a new thing or a changed thing at Encore. And then Vegas Changes also reports at Resorts World that the 24-hour restaurant, The Kitchen, has scaled back its hours. It's no longer 24 hours. It's now just open for breakfast and lunch. Looking at the Resorts World website, it looks like it's 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. They still have their little mini buffet thing in the middle, apparently.
Why?
I don't know. People must be into that, I guess. But this isn't that shocking by any means, because any new resort is going to go through some adjustments and stuff like that. And apparently they realized there wasn't enough of a market later in the day for this when their other restaurants are open. So I guess I understand that. I'm wondering about late night though. Their options are a little limited late night. I don't know. I think, I don't know if the breakfast sandwich place,
Sundog Buns Out.
Yeah. I don't know if that's open all the time. I can't remember, but, yeah, this isn't as surprising as Marigold closing just a few months after the place opened, but scaling back their hours, so I just thought I would mention that. Down on that end of the strip, there's something else. This I did find some through some of my sleuthery. You may remember when Phil Ruffin bought Circa Circus. One of the things he mentioned as far as changes, I think he said that like Slots of Fun was going to be one of the first things, and they have been undergoing some changes there. They're putting in a daiquiri bar, and I don't know what else. But one of the other things is plans to put in a new pool complex with a sandy beach, wave pool, and lazy river. It looks like things are beginning to roll on that, because there have been some permits pulled for a south pool complex being installed at Circa Circus. So we'll probably be hearing an announcement soon about an improved Circa Circus pool complex. If you're going to have a place that unfortunately caters to families, you probably want to have
a good pool.
Yeah. Keep them there. Keep them inside. Don't need them running all over, making everything sticky. I don't want that. Across the street from Circa Circus, there's also some pool news. I still am up in the air about whether or not Fontainebleau will ever happen, because it's been like 46 years since they started building the thing. But I have been keeping an eye on the work that they've been doing there. And one of the things that they've been pulling permits for is their ninth floor pool complex. They have plans to install a couple pools. One is the Oasis pool. The other is the Serenity pool, as well as a hot tub, the Serenity Spa. So the noteworthy thing about this, I was trying to find information about the pool complex from the original plans, because the new owner, who is the old, or the new developer, who is the old developer who originally started building this, has said they want to carry out as much of the original plans as possible. The plan that they had originally was for that pool complex to be open 18 hours a day, which is pretty unheard of. The closest I think is Circa.
Yeah, with Stadium Swim.
And I don't know, that's open, what, like 8 a.m. to 11 or something. So not quite 18 hours, but on the strip, there's nothing that's open that long. And I don't know if that's going to happen, but it would certainly be interesting to see if they did that and whether or not a trend will start now if we were to have a couple places that had extended pool areas. That's been something that, as long as I can remember, there have been people questioning, like, oh, well, why don't I have any pool options later in the day?
Yeah.
I think it makes sense to have it open if you can. So we'll see if that happens or not, but they have begun work. We don't even know if fucking Fontainebleau is going to happen, but they're continuing to work on it, so that's good. Hopefully they won't, you know, lose their funding again. You wouldn't think so based on who owns it, but fuck, I don't know. Weird shit's happened before. I'm still pretty, I'm not ready to commit to this actually happening, but it's good to see that they're doing a lot of work right now. It brings me hope.
Good.
We could all use a little hope right now in our lives, don't you think?
Yeah.
All right. One other thing that we're going to tackle this week. Formula One racing.
Which you're very much into.
Car racing. I think I mentioned Formula One racing a while ago because there's this book that I started to read.
Oh, right.
About, I can't remember what it's called, Caesar's Palace, the mob, and this race that they had back in the 80s. That's not the name. That's what it's about.
Yeah.
And I made it about 25% of the way through it and haven't made it my way back to it. I got distracted by anything else because it's, if you're a fan of, I think I've said this before, if you're a fan of racing history, right on. Probably a good book. The Vegas aspect, a little light in the beginning at least. So they lost me. I'll probably maybe come back to it at some point. We'll see. But anyway, that was in the early 80s, the mid 80s. They had a couple of years where they had this race they brought in, and it was supposed to be Formula One's signature race in America. It was going to be a big deal. They had the backdrop of Las Vegas. At that point, they put the track on a essentially a parking lot, an empty lot adjacent to Caesar's Palace. I think it was where Mirage is now.
Okay.
And it turned out to be what many consider now to be, well, some consider, some, okay, some guy on YouTube considers to be one of the worst, like most boring Formula One tracks ever.
Well, if some guy on YouTube says so.
I know, right? No, apparently, I just watched this thing about the history of the race because I'm like, oh, maybe I can, this is the cliff notes of the book. I can just watch.
I could just watch this and skip reading the book.
9-minute video and get out of it what I wanted to. But the track was really boring. It wasn't, there were no elevations or anything because it was just a flat surface and that made it more boring and blah, blah, blah. So the race failed. It didn't stick around. But they're planning on bringing a Formula One race back to Las Vegas. According to the Las Vegas Review Journal, there have apparently been discussions underway for about 6 months. I think this is a horrible idea.
I think it's terrible.
Because it's a road race that would involve the Las Vegas Strip. And that's not something where you just shut it down for 2 hours during the race. I don't know how long the races last, but there's a lot of setup and tear down, and it would be disruptive for a rather extensive amount of time.
Yeah, I remember when they did a road race in downtown Minneapolis, and it was a pain in the ass.
Clusterfuck. So this would be a similar thing, and they're planning, if they do this, to have the starting and finishing, the starting and finish line to be right in front of Bellagio, because of course you want the fountains as a backdrop. But I would not want to be there that weekend, for one, because good luck even walking on the strip if there's people standing around watching this fucking race.
Oh, my God.
They're excited because they can have people standing on the overpasses and stuff. They think that's, that would make a good place, but...
No. Let's not screw up traffic any more than it is.
And just all the setup and tear down and having to put up, you know, protective walls and all
like,
that shit.
Like, it's one thing for New Year's Eve, or don't they shut it down for the marathon, too?
Yeah. They do it for part of one day.
Yeah. That's, you know.
This is going to be at least a weekend, and probably it's going to be disruptive longer than the weekend because, again, you have to put up fences and stuff to keep any flying debris away from people who are watching. And it, so it wouldn't just affect the driving traffic, but it's going to affect the pedestrian traffic as well. So there you go. I know it would be a big splashy thing in the race car. People would probably be excited about it, but... how disruptive for everybody else.
Yeah.
So we'll see if it happens. Hopefully not, in my mind. And the goal is that this would be, again, this is this was the goal in the 80s too, that this would be such a big success, that would be their signature North America race. So it would be recurring. So let's hope for those of us who don't care about racing and more care about quickly getting from one place to another.
Mm-hmm. Oh, think of the moseyers, honey.
It wouldn't even be moseyers. They're going to be just stopped and watching during the race.
Ugh.
It would suck.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. No word on a timeline. If it ends up getting announced, we'll discuss it. In the meantime, we'll continue to hope it doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry if you're a big racing fan and would love to see this happen, but...
there are other places you can go.
I can't get on board with this. They have fucking racetracks. I know that this is a different type of racing.
Right.
But
yeah.
Shut down some shitty town that nobody wants to spend their time, you know... fucking Minneapolis on a weekend. There you go. Nobody's down. nobody's down that downtown. That worked for. Did they do that? What, 2 or 3 years?
Well, it was over 4th of July.
Hold on, there you go. Holiday weekend, dude. Holiday weekend in Des Moines.
It just sucked when you were a worker there and you had to like walk an extra 4 blocks around all the shit to get to your job.
I know. We have a lot of problems having to walk the extra 4 blocks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like
when you're already walking like half a mile. I know, it's kind of a pain in the ass.
Inconvenience.
Still a little salty about that whole thing.
Inconvenience for something that you don't care about.
Yes, understand. Yes, exactly.
All right, so that's what's going on. We do have some phone calls. We're going to hold on to those. Probably start to get caught up next week. So continue to call if you have thoughts, reports, trip updates, drunken shenanigans. 702-866-9494. We would love to hear from you as always. All right, before we go, we have a few karma donations this week. We would like to thank Michael. There was no comment included on there, but...
thank you.
Thank you and good luck and all of the above to you. Chris in Prior Lake, karma donation. He said, I hope that I will be fortunate. I do wish that for me.
We wish that for you as well.
On behalf of our white lions and tigers, we do wish that for you. Jesse and Jimmy, hoping for some luck on the first weekend of February to see a show at Brooklyn Bowl. Staying at the Shitbird, presumably that's Flamingo, and said, this is the kindest thing. The podcast has no equal. Although I suppose that could be read as a negative thing, but if they're supporting the show, I'm guessing they mean that in a positive
way. Yes, I hope so.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. It's very kind.
Thank you.
Parker in Orange County, California, karma donation, headed out for a one-night trip with my buddy Bobby, hoping this helps at the craps tables at Mandalay Bay.
I hope so too.
I hope you had much luck. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. And finally, Kevin, previously mentioned Kevin, who submitted that, he's on a tear this week, submitted that fake DJ name that you immediately guessed. Kevin, I welcome another fake DJ name.
So do I.
You're going to have to try a little harder than Cajun Lo Mein, though, because that one didn't fool her. I liked it. I thought it was great. I think he was at a restaurant that had some sort of Cajun Asian hybrid.
Uh-huh.
And that's what inspired that. But I welcome another submission from Kevin for that. Anyway, we got a karma donation, and he submitted this on behalf of Mohammed Butt. And there are a few people on Twitter who will find that really funny.
Yes.
By the way, Kevin, show some respect. It's Dr. Mohammed Butt. All right. Thank you, everyone. We appreciate your support. You're awesome. As always, 500bymidnight.com is the website. If you have Dear Tim and Michelle questions, send them to 500@gmail.com. And, of course, again, that voicemail line is available to you anytime, day or night, at 702-866-9494. We would love to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening. We do appreciate it, and we will be back soon with another show.
Bye-bye.
Bye.